And we back. It's the From Scratch Podcast. You can listen on Stitcher, iTunes Podcast, Google Play Podcast. Who am I missing? SoundCloud. And we are playing around on the Blueberry app now. So you can find, search the From Scratch Podcast there. Thank you for tuning in today. A special guest, they gang together, leading be legendary. separate powers too. We got Name Tag Alexander, and we got DJ DDT. Was good.
What's going on?
So, after this podcast come out, this is another years in the making podcast. So I've been Name Tag was secretly supposed to be like our first guest. We share friends.
Low key.
He was supposed to be our first guest on the podcast.
My bad.
No, it ain't you. It's like he was supposed to be like we started. What was that 14? Like 14, yeah. 15, and like Brandon is like one of my best friends, and Brandon is one of his best friends, and so we were like, and then we got each other numbers. And this dude work schedule is
crazy.
The worst, probably.
Right?
Yeah. The worst work schedule. But for everybody who don't know, like I said, they had a podcast, and the bio and link, everything will be tagged there and plugged there to make sure you can check them out after this. Anybody who doesn't know Name Tag, let them know what you do, where you from, and all the good stuff.
I'm dope with the bars. I'm songwriter, MC. You know, Name Tag Alexander all across the board on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, you know, all the streaming platforms for music, or, you know, if you want to download the website, leadandbelegendary.net. But like I said, at the same time, it doubles as a podcast as well. You know, you got the Lead and Be Legendary with me and DDT. How long have we been doing this? It's been, what, like 2013?
Yeah.
You want to say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going just us two for the most part. You know, I've been trying to build it pretty much.
Now, if you really want to see his skills, you got to watch him wash a car. Because his car washing skills, man. I don't think I ever seen a car get as clean.
At all.
Until he washed the car.
So DDT is the... like the hidden track on this interview, because
the hidden track.
I found out about him, and I probably heard him and didn't know about him, but I found out about him on the Lead and Be Legendary podcast initially when he came on as a guest. So if anybody who doesn't know who you are and what you do, you got to talk your rapper talk. Drop the resume. I'm trying to see if he gonna say everything or if he gonna be like humble.
He gonna be modest.
You know, I DJ a little bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from the humble stuff, but I'm a DJ of how many years? Let me see. I'll be 43 in July.
Yeah.
So that means I've been DJing for. I can't even think. What's that? 43.
A long ass time.
34 years. I've been a DJ for 34 years. I'm also a producer. I'm also a recording and mixing engineer. I'm also a photographer. I'm also a videographer. What else do I do? Oh, my dance routine skills are crazy.
Yeah, he can jig real good.
Yeah.
Who else? So I knew you was gonna do this part. Who have you worked with, DDT? Just a couple guys. Just name a couple.
Oh yeah, go with the humble brag. Who you done toured with? Go ahead.
I was D12's DJ. did work with them. A lot of course, unreleased work, but I did help Proof put together the underground EP that was put out after they signed. I was Denon Porter's production assistant and his DJ. That was after all the D12 stuff. We ended up producing the record on. One of Snoop's albums. Of course, Denon produced everybody, but I did one of the songs on the blue carpet treatment with Denai. What else have I done? Like I said, mixed engineer. I mixed quite a few records.
A couple standout projects. Let's see what you see.
Is he got as far as mixing?
Yeah. Who sounds did you get right?
The one that's most notable or that everybody might know is Moody, Born to Mac. No, I don't know if everybody remember that one.
No, it was a joint.
Who else? Identical, SJ and AJ. I did one of their records that was produced by the Olympics.
I just learned that today. I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
AJ, SJ, From Scratch alone.
And then, like the past, since maybe the fall, was it the fall or the winter? Since this past winter, I've been back with the Nine and with Royce 5'9" engineering for them.
Heaven Studios.
Yeah, Heaven Studios.
I want to go there so bad, man.
And then I own my own studio here on the east side, Cypher Studios, with my partner, Preacher.
Okay, see, he had to. He got way.
You got to get it out of him. It's way more. You won't say it if you don't mention it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just mix songs. Listen,
that's it. I don't do much, you know.
All right, man. So let's start with the Lead and Be Legendary podcast. What you do, why you do it. Because initially it started off as Name Tag Alone, and then we'll, talk about DDT adding to the song.
We just do it because we just do our thing. You know, that's
what it.
We do.
That's all it is. You know what it is. You already know what it is. It's your boy.
You already know.
Yeah, Rapper's Beat.
Man. Rappers, a one-on-one thing. Don't ever give that answer.
You know what it is.
Right, you know what it is, or I'm just doing my thing.
You know, it is what it is.
You need to find something to say.
We was talking about that shit the other day.
Yeah.
But yeah, the podcast will even be legendary. It started out, I originally had been listening to, it started out with Combat Jack Show. I was a huge fan of that. I think the Dame Dash episode sparked it in my mind, like, damn, what is this, like a podcast? I saw it was like 2 hours. I'm like, man, I ain't listening to no shit for 2 hours. But I broke it up, and I was just interested because of the conversation in itself. And then, you know, time passed on. I saw Nori had one. I'm like, Nori is a personality, man. Let me see what this podcast is about with Drink Champs. I've been seeing a plug on Breakfast Club. That happened. And then at the same time, I didn't even know Joe Budden had a podcast. So I listened to that one. I'm like, rappers is doing podcasts, and they giving a take on what's going on, you know, in the industry as far as from the business side of everything. Like, you know, with Nori, it's more so like the stories and everything with the legends he do bring on there. But Joe Budden, it was like his take on what's going on in the industry in a Joe Budden way. And I just thought that was dope. I'm like, I saw artists talk about it, make mention of it as far as on social media with doing a podcast. I'm like, man, I don't got no laptop, no setup. I'm just about to jump off the gate. I got this iPad. Let me just go ahead and record a podcast episode. Hit him up one day like, hey, yo, I'm shooting through. We just about to go ahead and record. And it went on from there. I didn't know if I was going to do episode 2, but I just kept doing them and figured, like, I got a network of people that I'm, you know, communicate with. Let me just go ahead and reach out to them and continue to do more episodes. Yep.
And Name Tag is a little more, it's sporadic. Like, he don't have, like, a set, you know, like, it is... He's meticulous about picking, like, the guests, and so it all makes sense, like, if you're interested in that side of it. DDT, what made you come on board with the whole Lead and Be Legendary podcast?
The hoes.
Okay.
The hoes.
So I know that's not working out. That's the biggest demographic of who's not listening to a podcast.
Right, at all.
Right.
I don't listen to nobody's podcast, so.
No, I I have a passion for creativity, so anything that's creative, or if I feel like it's creative, I'm gonna be, you know, if I can see myself being a part of it, then I'm gonna go ahead and do it. And this is one of those things, and it's crazy because I don't even listen to podcasts like that.
He don't.
Uh-oh. See,
I don't listen very very often. I listen,
hit that bill.
I probably listen to like one or hit this. Oh,
that's
my bad.
The funny thing. I'm the junkie of listening to podcasts. I'm always looking for the new ones, and he the one to be like.
Now here's how I listen to podcasts, will get me to listen to podcasts more. Watching them on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I sit and watch Drink Champs all day on YouTube, but if I get in the car or just sitting in front of the stereo or something like that, or putting them in my headphones, I probably won't listen.
The way podcasts work for me, so as I think we gotta get Combat Jack out here, because he kind of, that's the reason I listen to podcasts.
And his podcast was dope, actually.
Yep.
And is the thing that drew it in was just because it's like he had some guests and it got posted on Rap Radar. And so at first I didn't even know what it was. I just thought it was an interview. And then I found out it was this whole genre. And then I jumped into Juan Epstein and listened to all those. But for me, I listen to him at work. Because, at work, you can listen to music. But it's like, it's frustrating to try to curate playlists for every day.
Right.
Or listen to albums. And sometimes I just get tired of it. But with the content of podcasts, and with them being like Combat Jacks being long format, playing catch up, you would knock out a work day.
Yeah,
and then
time go by like that. I get a whole lot done. Yeah,
so that's how it worked out for me.
I probably couldn't if I had a regular job where I was just sitting with headphones on. I probably couldn't do it because I'm one of the people. I don't like to talk, and then I don't like to be talked to. All day.
It's gonna happen though.
I do get into podcasts.
I gotta trick them.
I don't not listen at all.
I send something to
them. It's not a.
Check this out. I send something to him and be like, all right, listen to this part right here to hear. And just see, maybe if he listens to
I wanted to cuss you out the last one you did.
Just start here at 50 minutes in. Because they talk about this, and I
went to 50 minutes.
Understand that.
It wasn't the part you were trying to get me to hear.
It was 54.
But yeah, in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, I'm gonna cuss this, and then they got to where they okay. I was like, all right.
Yeah, man, it'd be important. It's gems in the podcast, man. You can always find.
There's tons of gems in podcasts, and that's what's crazy is I understand that, but I'm not an avid listener, I should say.
I'm an avid listener.
We'll work on it. The genre's still opening up, so
we'll
get you there. So since you've been doing this, I want to talk more about Name Tag, because we messed with DDT about the Humble Brag. So Name Tag as this artist, so I have some insider scoops. I know he has a bigger fan base across the
pond. Right. Speaking of Humble.
Across the pond. Let's talk about some of these placements that you got as of the last year and a half, 2 years too. Yeah. So let's talk about ESPN.
Ah, man, that was a blessing, because my brother, shout out to Black Beethoven, who's a producer, do a lot of the same stuff DDT do, produce, engineer, 9 times out of 10. If he didn't mix it, DDT mixed it. But he had been in my ear for the last 5 years or so about getting music placed in television, film, video games. And I used to always wonder, well, how can that be done? I was curious about it, but, you got to have original material. They don't really play too well with samples, this, that, and the third. So we had a track that was already about 2 years old anyway, Play to Win. So I just started going through the catalog that I had of things that weren't sampled, the songs that weren't sampled, put them all in one catalog. DDT plays a part in this because he knew a guy, Co24K, who's an artist that's from here. However, he moved to Atlanta. Me and Cole built a relationship, and Cole just told me the breakdown of how to get it done. I got in contact with the music supervisor at ESPN, who basically kind of is the party that is responsible for getting the music placed on a certain television shows like First Take. So I was persistent. He was like, yo, just make sure you have your publishing together, whether you ASCAP, BMI, and they're going to work with you. So he'll just send them your work and, just tell them I sent you or whatever. So I did the forward email, contacted them. They got back with me and was like, well, send over a catalog. First, I ain't just want to spam them with the music. Here's a whole catalog. Check out my music. It's dope. He was like, well, it's cool. Just send me some music or whatever. I sent it to him. And that same night, he got back in touch and just was asking, well, do you own, the masters to the music? I'm like, yeah. And well, who's the producer? Is he with ASCAP BMI? I'm like, he's with BMI. And then the rest was history from there. We just worked out the splits and everything, and the company that had to clear to clear the use of the song. And actually, within a few months or so down the line, it was on ESPN First Take. That's how that started out for me.
How has that worked out? Like what is the difference between like getting placed there and what that looks like for artists who are trying to, cause like on your podcast a lot, you talk about how to kind of eat from different places.
Well, you see, he put up in the Bentley, you know.
Bow Wow challenge.
Right.
But no, it's a slow process because after that, I hadn't had a placement for like about maybe, it probably was like half a year. And like winter of, I want to say 2015, I ended up having another song. Shout out to A. Will Tracks, who's another producer from here, who sent me a track or whatever. I'm listening to it. I'm like, I don't know what I can do with this, but I know I can probably get it placed. And that's the song that I have that's on the platforms now called Mind of a Champion. So I wrote about a ton of verses for it. Finally came down to one. I'm like, this is going to be one long verse. He already had the hook in the beat. So I listened to it. I'm like, all right, let me go ahead and just add like a bridge to it, which was the chant where I was saying Mind of a Champion. Added that, had that done. DDT actually mixed that one as well. And I end up sending it, same thing, same process. I'm like, I got ones. Instead of just sending him a catalog all of the time, when I contact him, I would just send him a song. Like, all right, y'all work with this one. So they not flooded. So they listen to it. He's like, all right, this could work. We have it to where, you know, there's a lacrosse, something, the lacrosse season is in. I'm like, lacrosse, I'm trying to get to the NBA. Like, how do I, you know, he's like, we got a lacrosse season that's going on for the college students. So, you know, we can get it placed there. I don't even think I heard it played on there. I just knew it was there, and like people was telling me, my brother watched and was like, yo, it's on there, I heard it this morning. That was that. And then after that, it was the Hug It Out series that just was going on through I don't want to butcher her name, Nicole Churchill, through Assemble Sound, handled that deal as far as me getting placed there with a couple of tracks off my last EP from Metal Letter. It was On My Job, and one of the singles I was pushing real heavy last year around this time called Down. Those two got placed on that series as well. Them about like the only four placements I've had so far, and I'm still working on getting more.
Okay, but they pay you good?
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty decent. It's a nice little upfront check that you do get, you know, and then sometimes it's different type of deals that you can work out to where you either don't get nothing up front and just get it off the back end, which to me is better because that's publishing that's consistently coming in for every time that show is aired or whatever.
Okay.
Like ESPN, that was real short because it was just first take just for that one time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Dope.
Trying, man. I mean, it's working. So, working.
Cause how long have you been doing music, would you say? Like, really doing it, not just like...
You're going to make me feel old.
You got about... Is it 15? It's like, yeah. 14, 15?
Yeah. Because I started out, you know, just the usual, just messing around with it early on. Like, it's in my family, so everybody know that's familiar with me. Black Milk being my cousin. Like I say, my brother, Black Beethoven, like, they were always involved in music. So it's like, it's there in front of your face. So you're like, all right. Now I want to try to do it too, and then eventually got good at it. Got to high school, really. Once I started going to CAS, that's when it really started kind of coming to life because it was other people there. I would see people ciphering at the table all the time, and I would sit off to the side like, I'm good, man. I don't want to go over there. Finally, you get over there, you start rapping. Next, you know, you done formed a crew. So, and at the same time, I was in a group with Black Milk and my cousin.
He was B-Rabbit.
You know, I mean, pretty much in a sense, like, you know, I want to do it, but I ain't really trying to do it like that. But at the same time, you know, working with Black too, well, it's a 10 speed and Brown Shoe. So it had to be around like 2000, 2001 up until now.
So because I know the inside and you're not saying nothing either.
I know what he about to bring
up. Who was up? Nope. Just who was at CAS around the same time as you?
Big Sean. At the time, like, he came, well, he was, what, about a year or two under me. So he was there, Tommy Walker, Oba Roland. I'm trying to, am I leaving anybody out?
Now, Brandon said the best person out of the crew, out of Shine's initial crew, was Pat Piff.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, at that time, yeah. Sean was still developing. Sean, he the shit now. But, you know, then he was dope then, but Pat was a monster, man. Like, we was on a trip somewhere. I think going to U of M probably some affirmative action trip. And for whatever reason, somebody challenged Pat on the bus to battle him. We're not looking. His voice was real, like, high-pitched. So we damn near thought it was a girl. We were like, somebody, she killing him. We turn around and finally paying attention. Well, there's a dude. Like, he killing my mans, though. So we sitting there. We chill about it. Everybody like, don't y'all rap? Don't y'all rap? So, nah, we wasn't really battling, but we just exchanging verses. And we don't really share this story too much, but I remember one time we were outside the building with, like, at the time, like, I guess, yeah, it was Pat and him. It was him, a few of the other people that was involved in Finally Famous. I don't know him by name, but we had, like, a just basically who got the better bars type battle. Not, like, necessarily I'm dissing you, you dissing me. Yeah, they had it. They had it. So, yeah, so definitely Pat Piff. Yeah, him, like I say, Sean was there at the time. Fast forward, maybe around about our senior year, we was always at the radio station for the Friday Night Cypher with a shout out to Sugar Ray and Lieutenant Dre at the time. We would be up there. My boy, Ian, he goes by Gratiot Jones. He was on there. Man, you know who he is. He plugged this, like, yo, they doing this. You know, they do a cypher on every Friday. Around whatever time it was, probably around like maybe 4, I want to say. So we just getting out of school. Bet, we enter. How we get in? You got to go. You got to, you know, exchange verses to get in there. It wasn't necessarily a battle at the time. You just had to spit your best, and then you back there. So we made it back there. That's when we met Super MC. Shout out to him. Damn, who else was back there? It's, man, you talking about Purple Gang. We was in there amongst alumni, so they ain't know what we was going to do. Sean got in. I don't think Pat got in that day, but he got in the next week. But Big Sean was down there, and everybody just made it back there and just spit. And, you know, y'all alumni. So I got it on tape somewhere. I got to find it.
Okay. Yeah, you got to dig that out. So with Black Milk being your cousin, how much has that helped and hurt you as an artist?
It helped because he damn near is the reason why I rap how I rap now. Because he kind of, like, my brother on one hand taught me just what to listen to, like, check out these classics or whatever. Or you going to listen to this, you know, you need to understand this to understand hip-hop. Black, on the other hand, was like, he wasn't pulling no punches. It was like, I don't care if I'm your blood. If you going to do this, you got to be good. So he going to tell you if you whack. He helped me understand, like, the flow, which from that came us kind of just listening to a lot of Slum Village. And we definitely admire Ba 10 because of his flow. So that's why I kind of developed that. So, you know, that. And then I think back then we was listening to, like, Heavy Cannabis at the time. Of course, Eminem.
Cannabis was the GOAT.
Yeah, at, like, the time. 6 months. For a minute. Yeah. So
6 months, he was the best rapper out for 6 months.
So we was in awe, just like, man, you know, we got to do that. So he just helped me kind of just, like, develop a style. How it can hurt me. Probably because of him being who he is. So I think because people see his success, they expect me to have the same exact success, where, you know, success is something that's subjective. What may be successful to him may not be the same for me. Like, he tours a lot, and that's not my thing. I'm like, well, you could tour. You know, I got a family. So I figured out my lane. We were just talking about this not too long ago. I'm like, well, I found my lane, and he realized it with the whole situation with the placements. That's not his thing is, you know, I'm touring with the band. We doing this original music. Mine is like, okay, I'm creating this music. I'm submitting it to try to get played so this music can live and be on television, film, or whatever. And still, at the same time, you know, satisfy my fan base that is listening.
Okay. Now, I don't think I'm making this up. Did you toy with quitting at one point in time?
Yeah.
This was a couple about times. 6 years ago?
Yeah, that's happened often. Yeah.
What's keeping you going?
Me.
Yeah, he wanted reasons, man, because, man, I started doing this podcasting thing. I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm kind of liking this a little better than, you know, it's kind of like one of the same in a way for me, but because it's content. It's still creating content. But I don't know, man, just kind of seeing, like, where it's going. Like, we all music heads in the room, so we love it as far as when it comes to listening to and just being a fan. But the way you seeing it, it's so disposable now. It always brings me back to that the intro on the Roots album. Things fall apart. We're talking about, like, music just being treated as disposable damn near. So it's like, I feel that's how people look at it. So your music, it could be here one day, and the next day people damn near forgot about it.
Now, DDT, as the DJ in the room, and you've been DJing my whole life. So
since 1983.
I wasn't even born.
For real. I started
my whole life.
That's what's up.
So how do you keep motivated and like DJing music? Because
it's extremely difficult.
From there, you was kind of at the, like, arguably one of the, because Motown is a golden era.
Mm-hmm.
The 80s was the beginning of
the bull. No. the 80s was the beginning of, just like the rest of the country or the rest of the world. You know, a lot of innovation started then. You know, drum machines were heavily prevalent by then. You know, it was a different climate, and things started changing in around 83. Like between 81 and 84, mm-hmm. there was a drastic change in how music was produced. There wasn't a change in how music was consumed until beginning of the 2000s.
When we could download it.
Yeah. That's when it began. Because there wasn't even a big change in records and CDs or records and cassettes or cassettes and CDs. There wasn't a big change because people still consumed it. Mm-hmm. Money was still spent directly from consumers to the record labels. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To answer your question, how did I continue to do it without being frustrated? I didn't, because I was always frustrated.
Okay.
This is a frustrating business. This is a frustrating industry. And just like him, I quit a million times. I can't tell you how many times I actually packed up my turntables and was about to take them to the pawn shop. And it's crazy because I have people that I have motivated to keep going, but I myself was ready to quit a million times. It's extremely difficult. And it's just something you just have to keep up with. Like, being a DJ before computers came around, we had to go to the record stores, or record labels had to come to us with a free sample or a free single for us to, that test press, or, you know, promotional copy for us to stay in the know, for us to stay intrigued by what the artists are going to be doing, and for us to stay interested in the music. And when we did that, we were able to bring different music and new music to our audiences. But once computers came around, it was a different story. It was like, it was easy for the music to be made. It was easy for the music to be distributed. It was easy for it to be consumed. And it got to the point where the DJ, if you want to call it something, the DJ could have been looked at as the middleman. Or the curator,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, to people's ears. Once people were able to create music in their bedroom and it become a similar quality to going to the studio, that's when it changed, because at that point, that's when everybody was able to, like, and there's a thing I said probably to Name Tag and a couple other people back in, like, 2013, you could get up in the morning, write a song, record it, have it mixed by 5 or 6 p.m., have it mastered by 8 p.m., have it sent to a DJ, and he get it. And by the time he starts his club night at 9 p.m., he's playing your record, and it can become a hit by midnight.
Yeah.
All in 24 hours. And that, you know, that's technology. And that's great. That's fantastic. But there's also downsides, because that same time, while that DJ is getting an email, a blogger's getting an email, a regular consumer's getting an email, so the DJ is not the first one to hear it.
Right.
So it ended up bringing up the question to whether the DJ is irrelevant. And it's hard to answer, because you can't just say no, but then you can't just say yeah. Because at the same time, when a DJ is playing, he's still playing. If he's a good DJ, he's still playing quality records. He's still playing quality music, and he's still playing them a certain way. You know what I mean? It's not just about going to just press and play on a record. You know what I mean?
But so that's the difference between the DJ and
a button pusher,
Serato guy.
Yeah,
right.
But so, where's your stance on this current wave of music? So, like, a lot of people coin it as the, like, angry old heads.
Yeah.
Are you on that side? Are you giving the kids a chance? Like, how you feel?
Yeah,
about
get off my lawn.
We just talked about this on the way
like
here.
I'm not the.
I've been trying to make it clear probably the last 7 years that I'm not the old guy is yelling at everybody. Like, I don't call it mumble rap. I don't dislike a lot of it. A lot of it, I just say it ain't for me because I'm 43 in a couple months or more than a month and a half. I'm, you know, so it's not made for me, but I do like a lot of it.
Okay.
The only difference is I'm not going to be the old guy in the club talking about it's lit. No, it's not. Yeah. You know, it's not words. It wasn't made for me to be
running through Benz on the regular.
Yeah, I don't. You know, but at the same time, I do like it. You know, if Migos came on the radio, I wouldn't turn from it.
Okay,
I just don't. It's not in my playlist. You know what I mean? That's the difference. You know, I'm still listening to De La Soul and Tribe Called Quest.
He played like an entire De La record on the way over here.
Yeah.
Like front to back.
Yeah. I mean, that happens for a lot more often than not. I don't know if it's unfortunate or not, but that's the beauty of...
It's not unfortunate. I don't look at it as unfortunate. I look at it as actually a beautiful thing because it's more music. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a bad thing in a sense because we are in an age where there's too much information.
Mm-hmm.
We have too much stuff coming at us. We can't. You can never get the amount of music that's being put out right now. You can never hear all of it.
Never.
And you know, have a clear sense of what's going on with it. Like one part, if everybody's being honest with themselves, nobody. Even if you were able to hear, you know, a half a minute of every record that's being put out, you're not gonna get what the record is supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? And I let me be clear, I don't like skimmers. I don't like people who skim through music. And I don't like being a person who skims through music. So if you're going to be a music lover, find what you really like and sit and listen to it.
So we're going to keep it on music.
Yeah.
So like me personally, I don't rush to like rate it. So, like, in the Twitter and Facebook era, like, everybody rushes to, like, give a hot take on
whole
the album.
Paragraphs.
But, like, I can't just because, like, I've been purchasing music, like, myself since 89.
Yeah.
And so I'm still trained to, like, listen to stuff.
You said 89, so you know about No One Can Do It Better and stuff like
my
that.
The first tape I bought, and I shouldn't have bought it, was... D-Nice.
What's wrong with D-Nice?
I was 5.
Oh, well, yeah.
I was 5. So,
it wasn't nothing wrong with him.
Yeah. You shouldn't have had that.
The whole it's not thing. Him, it's me.
Yeah.
It's
it wasn't just heavy content, but that's a bit much for a 5-year-old.
But I listened to it. I liked it. But so, like, I like to, like, I can't say what an album sounds like until I listen to it in the car. I listen to it in headphones.
Yeah.
And, like, I listen to it, like, it has to be loud at the house.
Yep.
Like, I had to listen on, like, several different
things.
Yeah, that's real.
So, like, we'll keep it this year. So, what albums have caught your ear this year?
Damn.
Is that the only one?
Honestly, yes. For, like, a full album, this year. It's Damn. I can't even think of anybody else.
So you're gonna make me leave out of this year now. The last 3 years, what's your albums?
Oh, that's easy.
I don't want to just say To Pimp a Butterfly Unmastered. Untitled, Unmastered. So I don't want to just keep going all the way down to Kendrick Lamar.
It's obvious
line.
He's a Kendrick fan.
So, To Pimp a Butterfly. So, with that album, I thought that album was Soul Food 2.0.
Yeah.
That album.
Really?
The parallels of Goody Mob Soul Food and To Pimp a Butterfly. And I don't think it got talked about enough. If you listen to Soul Food today,
I'm going to go back to
matter from all of that.
I never thought about that.
That's all. That's all I think about when I listen to Pimp a Butterfly or start to listen to it. I'm going to automatically go to soul food.
See, for me, to pimp a butterfly, I was basically, I guess I was enwrapped in all the elements, you know, in the music, in the tracks, And that's it's a bad thing because me being a mix engineer, I'm sitting there going like, damn, I would have mixed this different. I listen to people's albums, I'm like, I would have mixed this different. Damn, I would have had the highs. I would have had the high hats and, you know, at this level, I would have EQ'd the vocals this way, you know. Mm. That's me. But that album was crazy. And the first track that came on, or it was the second track that came on, the one with George Clinton, took me back to, I hear the drummer from Parliament Funkadelic in the track. You know, I hear that it's a certain snare that they had that I hear in that song. It's a certain way that If These Walls Could Talk?
Yeah.
It's a certain way that the keys play that took me to another place. You know what I mean?
Kendrick, he's a student of the game, so, you know.
That was a real West Coast album.
Yeah, definitely. Because
that made me.
I wouldn't say West Coast. I would say a real funk album.
Funk, but the reason I said West Coast was heavy for in that the early too, 90s, that was the West. Yeah. Like when Dre came. Yeah. And then he brought.
But everything Dre sampled was from the Midwest.
Yeah, that's the whole other side of it. That's the whole other side of it. But that's why I think it's a marriage between the Midwest and the West Coast. Because why do we love E-40 so much?
Exactly.
Right. Why do records break on the Bay?
Yep.
From Detroit first. Yeah. You know, it's because it's like we share a sound, but I don't know how it happened.
Me neither.
I know, like, they love what we do, we love what they do, but, like, who was, like...
Like, I've never been to the...
moved out there?
I've never been to the Bay, but everybody tells me...
It's going
to
be like here.
Yeah. It's just like here.
Shit over there.
I used to go to Chicago every year, but, you know, and we got a lot of similarities, you know, Chicago and Detroit, but everybody tells me the Bay is like Detroit, like another Detroit.
Especially like if you an underground artist that's like dope, and you, let's say you move from here to over there, oh, it's popping.
Like you in, think you're about, in comfort.
What's the boy name? Pablo Skywalker.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like he eating out there. Like that's where his whole like fan base is there, and you know, like crazy. In California, it's big enough for you to sustain and live just by having that support. But like I think. You know, the stuff that we don't talk about enough, even think about the relationship between Breed and Too Short.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they was together, and then, you know, like, they moved to Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? But that something drew them together, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, and that sound hasn't stopped, like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. I want to know about the connection for Michigan and Texas, because a lot of people move from Michigan to Texas. And it's funny because Bree, and he's another dude that I used to run around with for a minute. And he used to tell me. Yeah, that was my man. But he used to tell me how DOC used to write most of it. Like, he would send the tracks to DOC. Mm-hmm. DOC would write his rhymes. He would send them back. And, you know, it was crazy. But there was always a connection from Detroit to Texas.
Until later, I didn't realize DOC was from Texas.
Oh yeah.
Like I made him be from the West Coast.
West Coast, flat out.
He was so ingrained in all of that.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed at how many people are not from where they rep. Like Corrupt is actually from Philly,
right?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Half of the Alcoholics are from Ohio.
Luda from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alcoholics was my guys too.
Yeah, man.
And
two of them was from
anybody
Ohio.
Anybody who listening. So the Alcoholics was.
They were a rap group in the 90s.
They was great though.
Exhibit
a West Coast rap group in the 90s. Exhibit was down with them. Actually,
he ran stuff from them. They brought him out.
Exhibit was from Detroit.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's a whole other show too about who's, you know.
It's all intertwined. So this is a good rap nerd episode. I'm really happy right now. somebody know what I'm talking about. Because the Alcoholics, I was like Justin, who hosts with me. So he said I was probably the only person here listening to
it was probably
remember, I'm from Flint. No. So,
Oh, you from,
it's a,
from the whole state of Michigan, there's probably 14 of us that listen to Alcoholics.
I was listening to it because of my uncle. Like, my uncle was the person who bought my D-Nice tape. So I was, like, gatewayed into a whole bunch of... Yeah. Like, I was listening to stuff way too early.
In That's retrospect. How it was for me.
As a parent, I can see that.
Me and my best friend listened to so much... And it's crazy because we listen to so much East Coast. And this is, like, between... For me, I listened to East Coast from the beginning of hip hop until now, when everybody else was listening, like even before hip hop was a thing in Detroit. Everybody was still listening to R&B. People have to realize Detroit is an R&B oriented city.
Smalltown, don't forget it.
Right. When
but when rap came big, it came from two different places, which was California and Florida. Florida was because of booty music, bass. We had techno, they had bass. So we resonated with that with that bass.
Shout out DJ Magic Mike.
Yeah, man.
Cali brought the gangster element because the first thing that we knew of from Cali was Ice-T. After Ice-T was N.W.A. After that was Ice Cube. With that whole time, I was like, hell with all this. I had discovered New York hip hop, you know, in 81 when it came with Planet Rock. I found out who that was and, you know, started looking around and, you know, seeing who was doing what. And a lot of the stuff I was listening to was Marley Marl, MC Shan, and Juice Crew, and other people's like, why are you listening to that hippie hop shit? That's what they called it. Hippie hop shit. But everybody else, like I said, everybody else is listening to gangster rap or bass and techno. And it's crazy because I still resonated with it because I'm from the East Side. That's all I heard on the East Side. And me being a DJ, that's all I spun when I was at, different parties as a kid was, you know, bass and techno.
I think an artist swimmer, Sheafy McFly, he's kind of touching more on that now. He just rocked the Movement Festival, too, doing some techno shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Sheafy been out for a while, doing
the air up there. And
I never heard none of his techno stuff, though.
He nice. I think that's the new part. I think he just started.
He been messing with it, but now he's like full on like doing it. I'm glad he's doing it, too, because I'm like, I remember we had always been saying like somebody need to have like the
up-tempo was crazy.
The booty music, but
it's something that probably not a lot of people know. But if y'all remember Rampage, the last Boy Scout, which was Busta Rhymes' cousin, he started out in hip hop. He ended up doing a whole bunch of heavy techno around like between 2011 and 2014.
Okay, good, because I was wondering what the hell happened to Rampage. Like,
he was like heavy techno. Like,
that's crazy. Was the EDM. Only person asking what happened to Rampage.
right.
The only person. If, when he look at his SoundCloud stats, like, who is this one Detroit listen? What is that? Who is this? Rampage, we found him. I did not think anything about Rampage. All right, so let's. I keep it fun. This is my favorite part of the show. Since I know you don't listen, DDT, this is called the From Scratch 5.
I couldn't wait for this part.
So I throw questions out. You just have to give your top five or five things of that, whatever that question is. So we'll make it light. You know, this I warm you up to it.
Yeah.
So. You and Name Tag, y'all don't share the five. Y'all, he get a five, you get a five.
Yeah, mine gonna be
your top
different.
Five hip hop albums of all time.
I don't have it.
That's not how this works.
That's not how this works.
I know it's not. It's two reasons why. One, no. I don't like lists. Two, I love too much.
It's not a list. I just want you to make a
your
choice. You just got
to
share.
There's
people
to.
That's getting to know you.
Mine
so it's like, what's your five things?
On top of my head,
I have it easy. I don't answer this question.
Yeah, you got it really easy.
I'm locked. I'm ready.
But off the top of my head, 3-3 High and Rising, Blue Mind State. What was the other one we just talked about? Stakes is High.
That's an underrated album.
And, man, I could go a million ways. That's what I'm saying. I love
you
too much.
You
got
to make a choice.
You see all three of them was Daylight albums.
This is your five, so.
No One Can Do It Better. DLC. Hey, I sound sexy as hell on this mic. All right, number five. I am a sexy beast. Number five. What was number
That's
five?
That's why I got the pink mic. That's the
hey, pink the seductive is gangster. I'm a sexy gangster.
Dog.
Number five. What would number five be? My favorite rapper producer. Crap. The first album. Damn. Quick is the name.
Oh, yeah, I was waiting. I'm like, he ain't gonna say no Quick albums.
I love the '90s, so I'm not mad. It.
That's the '80s.
No,
the Quick
really?
Is the name.
Yeah.
The first. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
beer.
Yeah.
That's '87.
First album was,
really?
Yeah.
'87, brother.
Yeah. No way. That is crazy. That hung on.
Mine was pretty
big time. Yeah, it did. It did, because the extra, was it Way Too Funky? What was that? Was it 89? Yeah, Way Too Funky was 88, 89.
That Quick is the name got to really be talked about as
yeah,
the all time. I mean, you couldn't have told me it was 87.
Yeah, dog.
That is crazy.
I was 13.
That is crazy. All right, name tag, you're not off the hook, man. We need your top five albums.
Top five albums.
Prince, Love Sexy.
I didn't want to overthink this because it was a lot. I'm going to have to say Slum Village, Fantastic Volume 2. Game changer for me. Common, Like Water for Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to say Jay-Z, Black Album. Tronic from Black Milk. Album was a shit. What's that? How many your name?
That's four.
That's four. All right, I got one more. So,
this is the one. The fifth one is the one. This one, you got to make that choice.
God damn. Oh, yeah, that fifth one is tough. I was on it.
And DDT, he said he was ready. You see that?
Yeah, right. This fifth one. Wait a minute. Oh, Miss Education, Lauryn Hill.
You're actually making me want to backtrack.
Yeah.
We're going to keep going.
I got to throw the Miss Education in there. So that's my five.
Because we got to keep warming DDT up to a top five Detroit spots.
Oh, hell.
Now, before we came in, we was outside. He told me how he used to cause mischief on the lower
in this
side.
Neighborhood, right? Heart Plaza, St. Andrews, Penobscot Building. Campus Martius. And I don't know. I need a good fifth one. Belle Isle.
Hell. Jeez, ooh. That was my first. So, all right. I guess I'm going to just go with Belle Isle. I'm going to say the GM building. This always reminds me of when I was a kid. We used to go watch the movies there. Definitely Campus Martius, St. Andrews Hall. And probably, that fifth one is always a tough one, man. Shit. Damn.
There we go.
Shit.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just think of something wild you did somewhere.
I'm trying to think.
Because I did some wild shit in the Penobscot building.
Man, Cast Tech, let's go.
Look at that.
See, I can't say Finney High because it ain't there anymore.
Mine's ain't either. Not the one I went to. But,
right. Yeah.
But it is technically there. It's just not the one I was at.
Wiltered in the dirt.
Yeah, they knocked it all the way down.
Let's see. Your top five favorite artists.
Was this hip hop or just?
It's your favorite. Your top five.
Okay.
Prince, Luther Vandross, DJ Quick. Goodness.
Yeah.
What did I say? Prince, Luther Vandross, DJ Quick, Dave Brubeck, and Ahmad Jamal.
Mm. Okay. My name tag is on the spot. Look at him sweat. DDT got it down.
He
gave me this hard time at first.
There's so much. And his was crazy. Like, with two things. One, when it comes to like music, my favorite artist, album, and song have nothing to do with each other.
That makes sense, though.
It's crazy. My favorite artist, well, it's tied between Prince and Luther Vandross. My favorite album is Dave Brubeck, Time Out, and my favorite song is Bill Withers' Lovely Day. Nothing to do with each other. That's R&B, jazz, and soul.
It's all good, though. So it's not easy.
It's not. Well, don't mind. Don't mind me. I'm just
there.
Awesome.
There's nothing bad there. But you're not off the you're not off the hook, Tag.
Yeah, I got it. 5% top five. All right. D'Angelo, Prince, Jay-Z, Tupac, Royce da 5'9".
Okay. So in all fairness of since you guys are podcasters, I'll let you throw out a curated question on your own.
A curated question?
Y'all just make the question.
See, I wasn't in question mode. All right.
Let me go. All right.
You're a talker, so you.
All right. For you.
Okay.
Top five podcasts. Pods in color, actually.
I only listen to black podcasts. Yeah, I'm.
No, I got a question. Go ahead and answer that one. Okay.
My top five, I'm going to go Joe Budden. I'm going to go Drink Champs. I'm going to go Combat Jack. Let me go in here. I'm going to go From Scratch. And I'm going to go. Who else do I listen to?
Scrolling through the phone.
Yeah, I got to on that. Oh, It's the Real.
It's the Real, yeah.
Waste the time with It's the Real.
There you go. That's what's up. Now, my question is.
Let's go.
Top five most incredible women, period.
Incredible women, period. Number one, it's my wife. I love you, girl.
Good answer.
Get that out the way.
Good answer. Good answer.
Janelle Monae. Trying to think, like, who's people might hate for it, but I'm still gonna put Beyonce in there. Tracy Ellis Ross.
That was a decent.
Gotta think. I have one more. Well, I gotta pick one more. I don't really have one more.
Just throw somebody up in there.
I'm trying to think. It's gonna be something. I'm trying to avoid not having to be like, dang, like when you get in the car and be like,
listen, oh, yeah. Like,
oh, that's gonna happen already.
Dang, I don't really got nobody, so I'm just gonna throw Keisha from Belly in there.
Keisha from Belly. What was her name?
Terrell Hicks.
Yeah, Terrell Hicks. Who you got, name tag? Your top five most incredible women.
My fiance, shout out. She don't listen to podcasts.
No, mine either.
Don't at all. So I could have said somebody else. She wouldn't have. It wouldn't have.
It would have got back. That one, I might, you know, that
they
one
find out shit. It probably would have got around. Like, how did you even find this out?
What
like,
you right. Do today?
Yeah,
right. You are. Yeah.
I heard
you
that was
so.
I heard that was the number one. Like, you don't even listen to the podcast.
I heard you was out here.
Yeah, but my fiance number one, two. We riding with Oprah. Three, probably gonna throw Beyonce in there. Yeah, Oprah.
I mean, it's his list. He got a little bit.
Yeah. I want to meet Oprah one day.
I can't hate.
You said incredible. Yeah, he took incredible.
I'm not hating.
You know, I'm different way.
That wasn't hate.
Yeah, but you know, Oprah, Beyonce,
a little judgment. It's a little judgment.
Michelle Obama.
Ah, yeah.
And I'm shocked y'all couldn't say her. I couldn't believe it.
It was on the spot.
Man, let's throw Rihanna in there. Skip it.
I would definitely
boo.
Take Terrell Hicks out for Michelle Obama.
I want to hang with Rihanna one day, man. She seemed cool as hell.
Yeah.
That's who I would sub out.
No.
Yeah. If I would have had a six, it would probably be Nadeska Alexis from Everyday Struggle. She seemed cool, too.
Nadeska and Vashti are the same person to me.
Who?
Vashti. Nadeska is
I know who Nadeska is. I don't know who Vashti is.
Vashti is a DJ, like a talent, like a fashion curator. Like she did like Lavender Jordan too.
Okay.
Wow. She like a tastemaker, but she been all around stuff.
I knew that.
They the same person.
I knew that.
She can go on there too. They can both be on there together. They can be on there together. But yeah, definitely if I had six, I would probably say Nadeska, but definitely Rihanna and my
Nadeska five. Just look like somebody I just be like, shut your ass up every 5 minutes.
Nah, she cool.
She seemed cool.
She seemed real that. Cool, but I'll still be like, you shut up.
She look like she'll go record collecting with you, man. Don't diss Nadeska.
That's not a diss.
And that take patience.
It's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not a diss because I seem like she seems like somebody I could hang out with. I just be telling her to shut her ass up every 5 minutes.
That's wrong.
I don't know why.
You mean, man. That's wrong.
Right, so I'm going to finish this out. We're going to finish this out. Your five favorite songs to finish out your From Scratch Five experience.
I'm just going to go with the songs, man. It's going to be a damn hard one.
You the song guy. You said you the songwriter. He mixing one. Songs. So why not?
Man. Man.
And again, B, this is how I do them. Look at him sweating. Sweating like
little. Yeah, I'll go first, and I don't even know what I'm going to say.
Well, you got your one that you already said, your favorite song.
Guys. Yeah, Bill Withers, Lovely Day.
We got that. We got one. I gave you that one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Name Tag sweating.
I can't even pick one from Quick.
You just got to regret it later.
Right.
Go ahead and throw one in there. You just got to regret it later. When you listen.
Okay, DJ Quick Tonight.
You can't go wrong with that.
De La Soul, Rock Cocaine Flow. That's three, right?
Yeah. DDT got this down. His poker face on that. He really act like it's so hard. Let me just run these out.
Oh, my goodness. Royce 5'9", Rap on Steroids.
I don't know where to start. Let me see.
Rap on Steroids is like a tough one.
What you looking at? Let me see. Five. What would be the fifth one? Number five. One, two, three, four, fifth. Damn, what did I say? Bill Withers, Lovely Day, Quick Tonight, De La Soul, Rock Cocaine Flow, Royce 5'9".
Rap on Steroids.
Rap on Steroids.
Man, I'm going to listen to that later today.
All right, fuck it. Name Tag Alexander, Paper, DJ DDT remix.
Paper okay. Is the shit.
Don't trust DDT if he say.
If I say DJ DDT remix?
No. I'm just saying, because he just acted like he couldn't come up with
thinking
this list.
I think he had all this was in his head. He had the, I got my answer just in case he asked these questions.
I'm going off the top. Y'all got to remember, this is, and see, I listen to stuff.
This off the top is impeccable.
I listen. See, now I wish I could take it back. No,
come on, Name Tag, go.
You got see? All right. See? All right.
Let's go. All right. I'm going to go ahead and start with saying Prince, She's Always in My Hair. I'm going to go ahead and say Losing Out with Black Milk and Royce da 5'9", classic. I'm going to say Live and Die for Hip Hop by Criss Cross off the
interesting. Okay.
Off the third album. I'm going to say Purple Rain by Prince. And I'm probably going to say Poison by BBD.
Okay.
See, I should have let you go first. Because now it's about 10 other songs in my head right now.
That was what was floating. I listen to a lot of music, five. So I was just floating in my brain.
And like there's a song that I keep on repeat every time I play it, which is Duke Ellington, Perdido. Perdido. I keep it on repeat whenever
just
I play
went
it.
To a bag that
he did.
But,
I mean,
but still, it's a top five.
It is.
You cheated this whole episode, man.
I'm glad I got to kick it with DJ DDT. This is our second time meeting. This was great.
I am great.
This is great.
Yeah, I'm a great.
Side note: We and the conversation we having right now. We had these conversations.
This
like
is what you have with your friends all the time.
Like all the time, and I'd be mad. Like that could be an episode.
If I showed you the text messages that I talk rap. I live rap every day.
Yeah, I just don't do the top five thing. That's the only thing.
That's just to make it fun.
I'm gonna incorporate that.
Oh, it's very fun. I just can't stand doing them.
Like
I'd rather make everybody else sweat.
The other day we was road tripping, and so we was in the car. We went to Atlanta to see my nieces. And I just text Brandon, why is Jay-Z so petty? Because, Jay-Z is the pettiest, rapper
of
all time. Because everybody, say people ain't have to respond. And the thing people never bring up in these discussions, I think Joe Budden brought it up one time, Jay-Z responded to everybody. Yeah. He was the biggest rap guy out. He responded to somebody in Harlem World. that we didn't even know. Like, he gave him a whole like four bars.
Yeah.
And then it was like the reason that he was petty is two people he won't let live, and that's Mace and Prodigy. He's forgiven everybody else. He's gotten past it.
Oh,
on,
yeah.
On Never Let You Down, he said, mess with Jay, it'll get you maced.
Right.
When I spit, niggas get very religious. So he had this, like, Mace was a
preacher.
He was
a legit, that, though.
A legit, so he dissed him and R. Kelly at the same time. Dissing Jay will get you maced. He made him quit and retire. He was preaching. And he's just like, no, I'm not going to let up. Then on Every Day a Star is Born, this is a prop song. Remember, he was giving niggas props. He said, you know, Mob did it. And he like, but, you know, Prodigy took it too far. He didn't enter. He shot it out Nas after they went to war. But Prodigy took it too far. Can't fuck with us.
Super petty.
So he's the pettiest rapper.
You say the chitter chat, this and that, this and Jay, get you Mace. Why did I not catch that when I, man?
Because him and the Mace diss, him and the Mace beef, like I didn't realize it until like the internet happened and they dissected it. So he dissed the Mace on Volume 2.
Yeah.
Because Mace was going at him.
The whole song.
And then that's crazy. And to find out it was Mace, I just liked it because I was like the Jay fan. So
my
like
brother said, two. Check your own videos. You'll always be number two.
I make more money off of
your albums than you.
See,
and then you see him running around with the number two jersey. You're like, can't nobody.
See, we didn't have the internet then like that. So, you know, we wasn't able to really.
We just catch was happy it. To hear Jay talking. Yeah. Like, Jay was just rapping good. So it was like good, but it's like, dang, he really just had. He destroyed Mace for no reason. And then after he did that, he told him, you know, you still number two.
That's crazy.
I got paid more than you off of that. Whatever, and then he like, I know you a pastor now, but hey,
you still getting his bars.
No,
right.
You know,
just still getting his foot.
So it's like you can't come back,
right?
So yeah,
damn.
So.
That's crazy. And then he dissed everybody when he said you only get half a bar. Fuck y'all! I was like, if you sit and think about it.
Shit, he's still petty. He do this shit with Drake. Well, Drake throws shots at him, too, though.
He just J.O. felony. Like, I mean, let's just...
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have to.
No, he had to, because J.O. felony was... Yeah, he had to. That had to happen.
Yeah.
But Jay, in the whole rap sport now, when everybody talk rap and like, oh, he too big, he got too much money to respond. Like, no, like, Jay was going... Like, Jay ain't let nobody off the hook.
Nah.
Like,
I didn't think he would respond to Drake, and then Shining comes out. I'm like, damn.
Like, on the low, he been like giving that. Drake the. I be not wanting him to do it. Like,
well, no, he ain't doing Drake like that.
He be giving Drake the biz. Like.
Yeah,
but he got to because he don't want to. You know,
tell him I know you ain't running around talking numbers right.
Yeah,
I know you're not talking.
But you don't want to give him that little. You don't even want to give him an inch of leeway.
Yeah,
because if you do, it's almost like you failed if you do. If you give him an inch of, you know, a smidget of leeway. So he had to, you know, stay on Drake's neck. You know, pretty look, much. Little boy. You
yeah. he gave him the biz on Keys.
Then Shining. I'm like, I thought he was done with Keys. I'm like, he ain't going to say nothing else.
I think Drake said something else. I'm not tune with the Drake thing to know everything Drake say. So.
He tries.
Hey, man, he dissed him on Pop Style by just giving like two bars. I was like.
I think that was the beginning of the Kanye fallout.
I was like, that's wrong. Yeah.
Because he was like, no. Nah.
That was super wrong.
But yeah, shout y'all stuff out, how they can find the podcast, find y'all on the internet. And find the music.
Like I say, it's Name Tag Alexander across the board on social media. Leading Be Legendary across the board on social media. More
LABL.
So, yeah, LABL. Label, however, Label Movement, at LABL Music on Twitter and Instagram. Like I say, Leading Be Legendary on Facebook. Get with us. LeadingBeLegendary.net is the website. Check out all my music. Name Tag Alexander across all the platforms. I know y'all stream me on a download music, so stream it where you can.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at DJ DDT Instagram at DJDDT1. Facebook is Desmond DJDDT Travis. And where else? That's about it, really.
Your Pinterest, you ain't shouts out enough.
Pinterest is / DJDDT. I deleted my Snapchat.
It's just taking up space on my phone.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that. That's like the karaoke social media site. I don't need that.
That's a good one. I like that. The karaoke of social media.
Well, thank you, fellas, for coming through to the Lower East Side. This is Audio Wave Network production.
Fair East Side.
Thank you for listening. Have a good one.
Yes, sir.